Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're talking this week about the fantastic, beautiful, inspiring, and very important teaching of John the Apostle from his Last Supper discourse from John 13 through 17. Five chapters there. I'd encourage you to read those. I've been looking at them off and on for the last couple of years. Did a couple of shows with Al Cresta on his national live show as well, because he was chewing on them as well as we were having a conversation one day. He said, wow, we should talk about that on the radio. So we did, and it's just golden. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it this week, again, is to just put it before our minds. You know, we live in turbulent times. We live in kind of crazy times where the center doesn't seem to be holding. There's just so much deception and division and insanity and worldview change that's just so troubling and confusing, discouraging politics, ongoing, you know, financial issues, just you name it. People are experiencing it, weakness, division within the church itself. So it's unsettling. And what the Lord wants us to do is to say, okay, now I told you you'd be coming and living through times like this. Some would happen within the church itself. Much of it would come as opposition from the enemy. And I want you to feed on what I'm giving you precisely for times like this. And John's Last Supper discourse is one of the places, among many in the New Testament, that describe the kinds of things that Jesus wants to produce in us and what we can expect to receive from him during times of difficulty and trial. But this one's kind of unique just because of the sheer length of it. And Jesus is talking about the apostles, not only what they themselves are going to be experiencing, but also in John 17, what those who come to hear the words proclaimed by the apostles and passed down through time, what other disciples, that's you, that's me, what we can count on receiving from the Lord in those difficult times. If you didn't have a chance to tune in the program yesterday, kind of opened up looking at some of Jesus' perspective that he gave at the Matthew 24 section of Matthew's gospel, where he's preparing them, the apostles, not only again for what they're going to experience, but also the return of the Lord and the kind of things, the difficult things that would emerge. I'm not going to go back there, but I just want to encourage you to go back and listen to it or just take up that section of Matthew 24, verse 9 through 12 and other parts of that, and just listen to the words of Jesus and internalize them. And how it's amazing to hear how direct, how clear, and how specific he is about what the church will be experiencing prior to his return. Today, I want to talk about two significant things that the Lord promises throughout his discourse in John that are meant to be lived experiences for us, that we're meant to come into and to be realized in this life, not just in the life to come. Jesus promised to give us his joy, and give us his joy to the full, and to give us peace. So that walking in joy and in peace, we can be in the place to fulfill his purpose for us. In John 15, 11, he calls us to walk in his joy. He tells us we will walk in his joy, 17, 13 as well, to give us strength so that we won't stumble or fall away. That's from John 16, verse 1. So that's his concern. He knows the trial. He knows who he's chosen. He knows who will eventually follow their teaching. And he wants us to hear it. Now, the Lord's concerned about you. And he's concerned about me. How will we survive, thrive, walk in difficult times? How will we live out this call to discipleship that he's given to us, our union with him? He's concerned that we not fall away and that we not stumble. Now, all we have to do is take a step back and look around. There's a lot of falling away from the church that's going on in the United States and around the West. I was just talking to a significant leader in Ireland. He was describing the dramatic falling away from the faith that's happened there. And there's a list of reasons for it. Most of the time, the list of reasons, you know, is related to the sins of the church, the scandals, because people are really scandalized by the scandals, and they ought to be. But it's puzzling. I see it more as a test, because the fact that the church is weak, the fact that there's betrayers in the church, the fact that there's sinful people in the church, I mean, I'm sinful, your sin, you know, none of us are without sin. But I mean, even worse people, people that are really given over to stuff that we've read about, saw, experienced, even in some places in leadership, that's very troubling. It's scandalizing. And scandal always does shake the faith. And before the Lord comes again, there will be a great shaking of the faith of many. And the key thing is that a disciple, someone who's deeply converted to Christ, someone who has the way, you know, the scripture describes it, Jesus talks about it, the, you know, have found the pearl of great price, have found the treasure hidden in the field. I mean, that treasure and that pearl, first of all, is the person of Christ. It's Jesus himself. And who he is, what he's given to us, what he's doing, his mission, his life, all of that. So Jesus is concerned that we remain loyal to him as we follow him. And we remain loyal to the church that he established. And as Jesus himself purifies his church and exposes the church's sin and deals with people that we may not have responsibility to deal with, but we do have responsibility to look at the condition of our own heart. Where am I at in relationship to the Lord in these times of discouragement, difficulty, and trial? So the Lord wants us to come to him because he doesn't want us to stumble and to fall away. But instead, what he wants us to have is peace, John 16:33. And he wants us to walk in joy, as I just said, John 15:11, so that we can love and serve the Lord and love those around us. Essentially, he wants to empower us to make the most of the time that we have, doing the most important thing we can do, which is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So there's three loves there. There's the love of God, there's the love of neighbor, and there's the love of self. And so it's easy to get those loves out of order. And that kind of thing's all over the place, but it's a challenge for everyone. First of all, to put God first. And how do we put God first? With the help of the Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit given to us in baptism and the regular habits of sacramental life and prayer and scripture and fellowship, support, all that kind of thing. The Lord wants to strengthen us to do what Jesus describes in Matthew 22, I believe it is. He said, this is the first and most important thing. There's nothing more important than for a human being to love God first with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so there's a great temptation in us to love ourselves more or to love something else more. You know, the love of self can be inordinate attachment to the self and a kind of love for the self that's not healthy. I'm preoccupied with myself, with my identity, with my feelings, with the things I want in life. And I haven't yet died to that self, that demanding part that's always shouting out for attention, looking for attention, demanding attention, to put that away. So that's inordinate self-love. And well-ordered self-love is to love ourselves in God, to see ourselves the way God sees us, and then to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and love the way he loved. Love the way Mary loved, and Joseph, and the apostles, and the saints, and the community. So that's a key part of why Jesus wants to equip us with these things, and he gives us peace, which is just that well-ordered life internally. He wants us to be able to settle the issue that we understand who we are, we live with an eternal perspective, we know where we've come from, we know why we're here, you know fundamentally what we're called to do, we know that life will be over very soon. Jesus told us what's most valuable, what I just said, what we're made for. He showed us our destiny. He also told us the trouble that we would face and the challenges in this life. And then he gave us his promises in the face of it, his clear promises. That he would be with us, he'll never leave us, he will strengthen us, he'll give us what we need so that we can walk in peace, that we can walk in joy. He says in John 15, if you abide in my love, and we've talked about abiding, what is abide? If you abide in my love, that is if you internalize and accept the promises of the Lord, if you live daily talking to the Lord, walking with the Lord, if you're determined to follow his leadership in obedience, which is the love language of heaven, the language that God lives by, and he's bringing us into in the love and the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit that's been poured into our hearts. He's saying, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit and you will come into my joy. It's from our relationship with Jesus that if that relationship, friends, is indeed the pearl of great price for your life, it is indeed the treasure that is hidden in the field, that great parable that Jesus said, when a man comes upon this extraordinary treasure, he beholds its value and he wants it. And he moves the treasure, buries it, takes everything he owns in order to buy the field so he can possess that treasure. He gives everything for the treasure. If that's where your heart is in relationship to Christ, you're going to want to abide in him. You're going to want to talk with him daily, listen to him, pray, accept his promises and actually believe him, pay attention to his promises. So many people who've been baptized have no clue what Jesus' promises are to them. They're not living by those promises. They're living by the promises of the world, the promises of, you know, prosperity and comfort and success and fame and all kinds of things that the world is serving up. And that's where their energy, attention, pursuit is going. It's focused on those things. Get up thinking about it, go to bed thinking about it, during the day living in it, pursuing that. And they're not aware of the deeper reality of who they are and what they're called to be. And part of the reason for that, I have to say, is that the preaching of the church and the leadership of the church in many ways is so weak, it doesn't, as Pope Benedict described in the document on the Word of God, Verbum Domini, he said that it's time for us to preach in such a way that people's lives get disrupted, not just comforted, that we need to preach the way Jesus preached with that kind of prophetic power and force and disrupt people to help shake them up and wake them up so that we can see, oh, geez, yeah, these things I'm treating as ultimate are just contingent. And there's greater gold out there. There's greater things I should be pursuing and doing that I didn't realize. I thought those things would make me happy. I thought those things would bring peace. If I acquired more wealth and more security and safety, I'd find more peace. And of course, that never comes. Not the kind that Jesus is describing. And the Lord said, I want to give it to you freely. So come to me. Walk with me. If you abide in me, I'm promising you these things will be yours. It's really quite beautiful. In John 16, it says, your sorrow will be turned into joy. You know, he's telling them in John 16 that he's going to be leaving. It's going to be difficult. But he said, it'll be difficult for a while. And it looks like the world's going to be winning. But don't worry. Your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. Like a woman when she's in labor. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born. Your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. That's something we all want, whether we can articulate it or not. I want a joy and a peace in my life that will be real and lasting. Genuine. And that's what Jesus is promising. And the saints are living witnesses to us in this life that precisely what he promised is what we ourselves can have as his friends and as his disciples. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.